Welcome back inside the cave this morning. Pat Hayes along with Ian Wendt, being brought to you this morning by D&P Communications, connecting you to what matters most. And on the other end of our line this morning, as always on Tuesday at 7:25, Tom Crawford from the Crawford Podcasting Network and a regular on Fox 47 out of Lansing. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Pat and Ian. It's great to be here with you. It's I've enjoyed Tuesday mornings, especially this particular week. The game, Michigan, Ohio State, pair 11-0s, cannot wait until noon on Saturday.
Now, Pat, we need to add into his intro, he's a regular on the cave.
Right.
I know he mentioned those other things, but I mean,
the cave.
Every Tuesday, like clockwork.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I want a business card out of the cave. Yeah.
There you go. Well, we saw Michigan this past Saturday, kind of a lackluster victory, but they got the win on that last second field goal by Jake Moody. Your synopsis of the Illinois game.
And thanks for holding my hand on that last kick there, Pat. I appreciate that. It wasn't shocking, because you go historically back several decades, the game prior to the Ohio State game, Michigan's had some slip ups. They've had some near misses. I remember a couple against Purdue in the 70s. I mean, Minnesota in 86, Harbaugh's senior year, his senior day. So that is shocking, especially against a good Illinois team. But in those particular games that we're talking about, they turned the ball over. Michigan did not turn the ball over. There were no turnovers lost in this game. It was a pretty clean game. But Illinois' ability to take over that third quarter was pretty eye-opening to most of us in the press box. And, they got 20 first downs to Michigan's 18. But they found a way to win. And this is what good teams do. They find a way to win when they're not on their A game. And when you have as many as eight, at least part-time starters out of your lineup and losing your top running back halfway through, and all, when it's all said and done, that's a pretty good W for Michigan.
Well, you talk about missing players. Really worried about Blake Corum, whether he is going to be available for this weekend's game at Ohio State. I know there was something last night I saw on social media that Ryan Hayes had mentioned that Blake probably wouldn't be playing.
Well, I'm not sure if that was misinterpreted or whatever, and you just don't know. I mean, he said he was going to be back. What's the definition of being back? If Donovan Edwards doesn't play and Blake Corum doesn't play, this is hugely problematic for Michigan's rushing game. Let's just be real. I mean, CJ Stokes has done a great job. Isaiah Gash, let's be real, he's a walk-on. Devere Dunlop, not a lot of carries. I mean, this is a severe ingredient to this game. If those two young men cannot perform, that's a 1-2 punch. And Donovan Edwards so much in the aerial game that, and almost like the sweet spot for J.J. McCarthy for getting his passing game in rhythm. That along with Luke Schoonmaker, Loveland did a nice job, the freshman, and he gets open. But Schoonmaker is a great tight end, heavily experienced, obviously. And if some of these injuries are still lingering, I know Harbaugh mentioned we sat in the presser. If there's any chance they're going to play, they're going to play. I mean, this is it. But to me, that's even a bigger variable than the weather is Michigan's health status. Same thing with Ohio State. Who can play and who can't?
Well, Tom, Pat and I almost got in a fight like 15 minutes ago. I said, Michigan and Michigan State. Michigan State, a disgusting loss. I thought that win for Michigan was gross. Disgusting. And I'm watching, Blake Corum goes out. Okay, now it's time to see what J.J. McCarthy can do. I've yet to see it. I mean, he's missing throws. He's throwing behind people. He's throwing at people's feet. He's throwing it up to you and Pat in the press box. He can't outrun anybody. Like, am I not seeing something here, Tom?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what you're not seeing. You're not, at least you're not mentioning, is that the Michigan receivers core is one of the weakest in terms of generating separation, of getting open. And, keep in mind, Andrel Anthony, a kid I've watched since high school days up here in East Lansing, had a beautiful go route down the sidelines, laid in his hands. That's a touchdown.
Right.
That game has a whole different look to it.
Yeah.
Now, that was not J.J. McCarthy's fault. Okay.
No,
you got to think about J.J. McCarthy. He had a mishap. The one time the ball went on the ground, he improvised, picked it up, and completed a critical pass on third down. I mean, it's not all. I mean, J.J., you know, could, you know, obviously his touch has got to improve, and he's improving every game. This is his first full year as a starter. But I'll tell you, you got to look at that receiver. I start with a receiver core, to be quite honest with you, Ian, as opposed to just beating down on J.J. McCarthy.
Well, like, who is he throwing to? Like, are these walk-ons and two-star athletes?
No, they're not No, they're not walk-ons. I mean, these are all scholarship guys.
Yeah.
And but I'm just saying, I mean, that has been a weakness. And the thing about Michigan, you know, particularly this is showcased in the red zone in a negative way, is I just saw some footage back in the 02 season, a pretty good season for Michigan. John Navarro was a quarterback. How many times they threw for touchdowns in the red zone. They had Benny Joppru, a tight end, running post corners. They had Ronald Bellamy, a current coach, getting open. I mean, they ran crossers. They found creative ways of throwing in that, you know, tenuous red zone when it's hard to get in there and run the ball, particularly if you're down a running back or two. So that's going to be key. It, to me, it's this lack of a consistent passing game has hurt Michigan's offense tremendously. If they win this game on Saturday, guys, the defense is going to win this football game.
Let's talk about Ohio State now. I know C.J. Stroud having a really good year, but the Buckeyes, they have some nagging injuries of their own, too.
Yeah, I mean, they've gone as much as
they're on, like,
deep,
their third or fourth running back, too. Right?
Yeah, and Jackson Smith and Jigba, I don't think he's coming back. But you know, when you have Marvin Harrison Jr., that guy, I mean, he's 6'4". He is what everybody's foaming at the mouth from a Michigan standpoint. If they had a Marvin Harrison Jr., a guy who could go get 50-50 balls. I mean, Keon Coleman at Michigan State is doing the same thing. Michigan, from a receiving core back to Michigan, from what Ohio State has and what Michigan doesn't have, they don't have 50-50 ball receivers, which is especially nurturing for a young quarterback who's still struggling in ball placement. And they don't have it. They don't remotely have that on this team. Adrian Arrington, you remember back in the 2000s, early 2000s, he's one of those guys who could pull out. Mario Manningham, you had guys that could go. Remember high pointing the ball? Mario Manningham in the 2007 game, remember that touchdown post corner?
Yeah.
South west end zone?
Mm-hmm.
Name a receiver who could make that play right now. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it all year, Ronnie Bell. Can't quite go up that high. I mean, he's the best receiver, but they don't have a high pointer on this team, and that's what I think is going to be critical, a void in this game.
Is it because Michigan doesn't have the guy or their quarterback doesn't give him a chance to get that 50-50 ball? I mean, you watch it more closely than I do, Tom. I mean, is it it's seriously 50-50.
I'll tell you what, you know, there have been some. I think it's more. JJ's tried to thread the needle when it probably wasn't there. I'm going to make this point about what, and as a total naive person in this regard, okay, as a receivers coach, okay?
Yeah.
But I see a lot of these routes, and I've mentioned this to Pat a few times, where there's a lot of hand-fighting these guys are doing on the routes. They're trying to get inside leverage. They're trying to leverage the DB to get – it's almost like in basketball where you're trying to establish position to get the ball fed to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I see them slowing down. Andrew Anthony is particularly vulnerable in this, and C.J. Cornelius Johnson the same way. They find themselves slowing down in this hand fighting. I've seen it a number of times, and the route's not complete. And if they can clean that up, that would be nice. But they're going to have to find other ways to win this game too. I mean, they're going to have to get obviously great special team play. They got the heck of a kicker, Luke Rosa Award winner, and Jake Moody. But I mean, the punt's got to be spot on. You can't turn the ball over. Can't get a block punt. I mean, we saw that in Rutgers. Tell me, Ohio State's not licking their chops looking at that film.
Well,
they have to be flawless in all this thing to win down in Columbus. And if they do win in Columbus, That is one heck of a statement to win to beat the number two team in the nation on the road.
I think the Wolverines really miss Schoonmaker with that drag route that he runs all the time.
He's
always open, it seems like.
Yes. Yeah, he is. And Loveland was open, too. He's not as dependable. I mean, he's a freshman and everything. But, there's, when I look at this game, when I take off my maize and blue-colored love goggles, which I tend to wear a lot, I'm going to have a hard time picking Michigan. Regardless, I mean, just taking the injury report and just taking that, just make that not an issue. Just if who's ever there plays, it's going to be tough to win down there. It really is. They're going to have to play the game of their lives. I'm telling you what, I dug down their week schedule and everything. This, they couldn't make up for it by winning in Columbus. They haven't had a quality, they haven't had a top 25 win on the road. They've only played four. This is only the fourth time they played on the road. And the other three teams were not ranked, okay? This is an opportunity. They have to take advantage of this opportunity. They have not won down there since 2000 when Drew Henson was the quarterback. That's a long, long
20
time.
20 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I see this game going down as the 0-2 game. The 0-2 game, Ohio State won the national championship, right? They were undefeated going into this game. Michigan lost 14-9, throwing into the end zone to Braylon Edwards for the win. I mean, they need, and that was a heck of a performance by Michigan in all phases of the game. Even offensively, they moved the ball. They got to have a performance like that. They have to have an opportunity to win the game at the end. They're not going to blow them out, but they just got to play really well and then try to grab one from them.
Well, Jim Harbaugh,
they should have been 16.
Jim Harbaugh has mentioned that they've been practicing for Ohio State for months now, and what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, this is all new stuff, and he says his team has the right stuff to win. I found that quote interesting yesterday. Of being more candid, Jim Harbaugh, this new version, this last two-year version of Jim Harbaugh, is kind of refreshing. He doesn't hide the fact these games are important, like Michigan State. He's admitting that that they practice every day. You know, they're basically taking Ohio State script on that, which is they've been doing that since Woody Hayes, a little bit every day for Michigan, or the school up north, as they call it. So, yeah, if Michigan loses this game, it's not going to be from lack of preparation. It's going to be from lack of execution. And obviously hindered by some injuries, potentially.
So when you look at the top, I'm going to say top seven right now in college football, and, obviously win the game, go to Indy, probably blow out the team from the West, and you're in the playoff. You got to play the what-if game. What if Ohio State, wins a close game? Or what if Ohio State wins a blowout? What do you think would have to happen for, Michigan to grasp onto that number four spot and pull an Alabama and make it in without playing in your conference championship? Do you think
that's
possible?
That's a great, great question and well framed there, Ian. I say this: the loss that Tennessee had, the blowout loss, South Carolina opened the door a little bit for that to happen. I still think they're going to have a Notre Dame beat here, and this is what we're all doing. We're all trying to prepare, the backup plan, plan D, if Michigan loses to Ohio State, how they can get in. They're going to have, in my estimation, they're going to have Notre Dame beat USC. Or USC lose to Utah again in the Pac-12. You got to get rid of USC. And then Clemson even lingers out there, and they could lose to South Carolina. South Carolina's pretty good, we found out. That's at home. This actually could play out that Michigan could back their way in, for lack of a better term, if they happen to lose. But they have to really compete. And if they get hammered like 2018 down there, or 2000, they can't have a loss like that, or 2019 in Ann Arbor. They have got to compete in this game for four quarters if you're going to try to garner a CFP with a loss.
We could go on for about another 30-40 minutes on this
subject. Yeah, let's do it.
Do you have time, Pat? I don't know, you're running things.
We are running out of time here right now. Let's talk Michigan.
Well, we got to get his pick.
Michigan. Well, yeah. Yeah. Give us your score, Tom.
Let me qualify. I hope the hell I'm wrong. Okay, we'll go right there. 27-21 Ohio State.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have a quick why? Or
a quick
just
why?
Just a
because,
gut feeling.
I'll tell you the quick why is the Ohio State's there. I mean, I saw some vulnerability in Michigan's secondary in that third quarter, and also not getting quarterback hurries on the D-line. So, I mean, I think with C.J. Stroud and great core receivers, that's going to be the difference.
Real quickly, Michigan basketball struggled against the Ohio Bobcats.
I give Pat credit. I was going to ask about it, but Pat brought that up. Wow.
Oh, God. It's a long season. They got to get better guard play. Jed Howard came through. I mean, Hunter is, you got to feed the ball to the beast in order to compete in these games. And Ohio U had lost. I mean, Ohio U lost to Detroit Mercy, guys. I mean, you start doing the comparatives, it's kind of scary. But, and they got Virginia, the fifth ranked team in the nation, next Tuesday night, 9:30, mind you, at night. I'll get home at 1 in the morning probably. They'll find out how good or bad they are, and they got to get better guard play, and they got to get better guard play quickly. I think this constant one and done turnover these last few years at point guard, Juwan Howard with a grad transfer is with Jalen Wellen, that's going to take a while, because if you're spending all your time adjusting halfway through the season with the newbies, give me the Derek Walton, Xavier Simpson formula, a guy who goes through. But that was supposed to be, you know, and they had a transfer go to Arizona State, and so that, you know, that's, Frankie went to Arizona State. I mean, that really hurt Michigan, and that he was supposed to be that guy. But, you know, the transfer portal, if you're not, everything's not a sweet spot for them, they're going to leave.
That's exactly right. Tom, we are definitely out of time now. We want to thank you for being with us here every Tuesday morning at 7:25. We'll talk to you next week after a Michigan victory.
I love it. Go Blue, and happy Thanksgiving, both you and Ian.
And you too.
Same to you. Thanks, Tom. Tom Crawford from the Crawford Podcasting Network, our guest here on Inside the Cave. Don't go away. We'll be right back.